really wants to get to know you guys.
What is this?
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
The only downside to TikTok for us is when the person has like a stupid song playing underneath and they're just standing there pointing to, I don't know, like a video or something they wrote or something someone said to them. It's like, that doesn't help me. I need audio. I need you to say the words. Mm. We need you to talk at your camera rather than just play a stupid song underneath while you do shit. Like,
it's a video forum, not an audio forum.
I know, but for us, it's an audio forum. So, like, right. If something big happens on TikTok, I gotta tell you about it. Like, I'd love to play you the video of these girls saying shit and doing stuff, but they don't have that. It's them, like, showing words and pointing to stuff and putting video in there, which I get it. Visually, it's fantastic. But it doesn't help me, is all my point.
Mm.
Anyway, so I'm going to have to describe this to you because, you know, whatever. So this kind of went viral today or this week, and I thought it was kind of an interesting, you know, like everything goes viral these days, but this one really did. Like, I saw this everywhere, and people that I know, like older people who don't even follow TikTok, were like, did you see this? So I was like, okay, well, this is obviously everywhere now. These women threw a funeral for their friend's straightness after their friend came out as bisexual.
Mm.
Did you see this?
No.
Oh, this
thank
is
God
great.
I didn't see this.
Why?
Because Why? I'm so glad that my life is to the point where I see every single TikTok video that maybe people see. I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Well, this one's pretty big, and it was in the New York Post, and it was in the Daily Mail. Like, this one made its rounds that a friend of mine that is, like, one of these working people who's always working, he never knows what's going on in pop culture, he sent it to me. He's like, did you see this? I'm like, of course I did, but the fact that he saw it was like, okay, this is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I think it's interesting. Like, I know you think this is really stupid, but I think this is kind of a really important moment, and I think it's a really important TikTok. And I'm glad that it rose above all the others because, well, they were being funny and cheeky to throw a funeral for their friend's straightness after the friend came out as bisexual. Like, that's sort of cheeky and funny. I think it's kind of important when you're younger, because these are people that are they're on the younger side. They're 27, so that's not like young, but whatever. It's on the younger side. When you come out as whatever, gender queer, bisexual, trans, anything you come out as, what you're saying to yourself and the world is that the previous you that existed doesn't really exist anymore. And to have an actual funeral for it, I think is like, it's a real metaphor for that part of your life dying and being, like, that's not you anymore, that part's dead. Forget about that, that died. This is the new me. Like, I think this is brilliant. I think people, this should be a thing. Like, when gender reveal parties became a thing, for 5 minutes, people were like, wow. And then people started like blowing themselves up and
yeah, we should kill that.
Fire.
We should give that a funeral now.
Yeah, that should get a funeral for sure. But this, I don't see this going in the bad way. I think this is only a good thing. So it's a group of LGBTQ women in California. So this video they posted for their friend, and she said that she always dated men until a series of LGBTQ flings, including making out with a woman at a party. And then she said, by the way, she met the girl on Hinge. I think that's even more interesting that she was straight, but she met a girl on Hinge, meaning that she was kind of, you know, curious, bi-curious. And she says, in other words, she kissed a girl and she liked it.
Mm.
She said, I've always been the token straight friend in her friend group. And then she broke up with a guy, and she decided to explore her bisexuality, and she did. So it's not that she doesn't like men anymore. She likes men and women, so which I think is really cool. So she said, the idea of straight Nicole is gone. So RIP straight Nicole. So she gave a eulogy. It was a whole thing. It was hilarious.
So can straight Nicole not come back?
She's not straight.
But if she dates and marries a man,
that doesn't make her straight. That just makes her dating and marrying a man she could still be bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plenty of gay men marry women. They're still gay. So it's just a matter of whether she's going to act on it. Like, if she does end up, well, she's bisexual. So if she could potentially marry a man and want to have an open relationship where she can continue to date women, which leads me right into my next thing that I was going to tell you.
There's that you're bisexual now?
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, I am so vanilla when it comes to sexuality. And if you look at sexuality on like a line, straight line, where like, I've said this before, but like where one side is like really straight, like loves to suck dick. And then the other side being like bisexual, whoever shows up that I'm attracted to, I'm down with it. Like if it's a girl I'm into. I am so far on the side of sucking dick. Like I never even like experimented with a woman in college.
You didn't
like
kiss a girl in college.
I've never kissed another girl in my entire life. Never, never. I've never been bi-curious. I am so boringly vanilla. But you know what? That's who I am. I embrace it. At first, I felt really guilty—not guilty, but I felt really like boring and stupid that all my friends were experimenting, or they were gay, or they were gender queer, or they were curious or whatever. I've never been any of those things, and I used to feel ashamed about it, like that, like why am I so boring? But you know what, I embrace it now. That's who I am. I'm into monogamy and I'm into boring vanilla sex with this, with men. I really like, I've always liked men. I've liked a lot of men,
and many men
at the same time.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. You know, I've dated three guys at the same time.
Oh, okay. Not like at the same time.
No, I'm not even into that. I've never had a threesome. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm really boring.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had any of those curiosities or desires. And the reason why I bring that up is because there's a new study out about monogamy. And what the new study found, that just over the past... So the last study was done in 2016. There was another study that was just done last year, published in 2021, that found that one-third of Americans say their ideal relationship is non-monogamy.
Non-monogamy. So
that's up 10% from 2016. That's a big jump between 2016 and 2021.
So that means they date many people.
Non-monogamous means that you are in a relationship with somebody and you either have an open relationship or you have a throuple, or you both together do threesomes, or one of you is bisexual. So you're like, okay, well, you can date the other sex while you're with me. Like, it depends on the rules. Like, I have one friend who is bisexual, married to a cis straight gendered male. They decided that she was going to be allowed to date women. He doesn't. He's completely monogamous. She's not. So they have a non-monogamous relationship because she gets to once in a while bring home a chick.
And I think that's great because I ain't got to be there.
Exactly. That's what he said.
There's probably football on TV that day. So
yeah,
have fun. Something I don't have to do.
Exactly. He wasn't into it, but she was. And that's non-monogamy. Or you have a throuple, which is a non-monogamous relationship. Or you just have an open marriage where you make your own rules. If you have one spouse that travels, maybe the rule is you do what you want while you're away. But the thing that's really
Do you have to tell the other one in the relationship, or can you just make up the rules in your head?
No, that's your rule. If you want a don't ask, don't tell, a DADT relationship, you can have that too. The idea is the two of you together have agreed. I have another friend that there's something about her boyfriend being with other women and her hearing about it that really turns her on. So she wants to hear her. She wants to hear all the stories. So the rule is he travels for a living. While he's traveling, he could do whatever he wants in other cities. Just the only rule is you cannot do that in our city where we live. But any other city you go to, fair game, fuck whoever you want, and tell me everything. I want all the details. And it gets her hot. She likes that. Like, they end up having like wild sex after she hears all about, you know, the chick he picked up in Chicago. So then they broke this study down by generation. Baby boomer, no surprise. 69. Nice. 69% are in monogamous relationships. 25% in non-monogamous relationships. I thought that was a lot.
Hmm.
Gen X, 58% monogamous, 30% non-monogamous. And then millennial, 43% completely monogamous, and then 43% was pretty much split down the middle of monogamy and non-monogamy.
Interesting. That was
kind of interesting. Yeah. And then they also break it down by, this is really interesting. Then they also break it down by lesbian, bisexual, and queer.
Mm.
This is my favorite part of it. So bisexual, 28% non-monogamous, over 70% monogamous.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It's complete opposite of what you would think.
Right, so you're bisexual, but you want to be in a monogamous relationship.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does. It means that you're... Just because you're bisexual doesn't mean you have to keep having sex with one or the other.
Right.
It just means that you'll fall in love with a woman and be with her for 3 years, and then you'll fall in love with a man and be with him for 3 years. It's the idea of that you want monogamy. But this is my favorite part. So I just told you that 58% of our generation wants monogamy.
Mm.
Unless they're lesbian, then it's 85%. 85% of lesbians, according to this study, prefer a monogamous relationship. Only 14% are willing to do non-monogamy, which makes perfect sense because it's women with women.
It's like a penguin. They're together.
It's like a penguin.
It's like
they
a penguin.
They wear little suits and walk around together?
Yeah, because they mate for life. So, see, women can get along with women. Women and men can't get along. There you go.
So I think the monogamy and non-monogamy thing is really interesting as we're moving more towards non-monogamous relationships, which to me feels more realistic. I couldn't do it. I want to be able to do it because I feel like there's definitely a side of me that I feel like I'm holding my boyfriend back. Like, why should he be stuck with me his whole life?
I second that.
Yeah, and you second that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be able to handle it emotionally.
No, not even close.
I wish I wasn't like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I hate my boring, vanilla... I like it this way, and that's the. I hate that I'm like that. I wish I had a more open view of all. It's not my view. It's not like I'm not cool or woke or whatever. It's just what I'm into. I'm into monogamy, and it's like I can't feel like I have to apologize for it, but I do feel guilty that my boyfriend is missing out on, you know, some good pussy out there because I'm too selfish.
I feel bad for him. So And I'm not even having sex with him, but I feel bad for him that he has to be with you nonstop. Poor guy.
But you know what? Honestly, how often do guys over 40 go out and have women just throwing themselves at them?
I bet a lot.
Like, you think a lot?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of 40 plus, 50 plus women that are single that jump all over guys.
Oh, I didn't think of... I was thinking younger women. Oh, so you're saying that like age-appropriate or older women...
Right. Yeah, I mean, the dating pool is really dry when you're that age. So anybody
You're pretty dry when you're that age.
So any guy that walks in looks like he has his shit together and, you know, is a good-looking guy, yeah. I think you can go out every night and find somebody.
Yeah, it's so weird because in my head, if I picture him ever cheating on me, it's always with somebody who's like 27. It never occurred to me that he could be cheating on me with somebody who's like 47.
If he's going to cheat on you, it's going to be with somebody that's 47.
47 or 53.
He could not handle
a
27-year-old. He couldn't.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they would drive him insane. It's like they'd drive me insane.
Right. Okay, so should I feel bad that some 53-year-old woman who's hitting on my boyfriend is not, like, I'm not allowing that?
No, because he could leave you for her.
Well, that's the problem. See, for me, that's the bigger issue. Because I don't think, you know, I remember when my parents were having some trouble in the bedroom. And the only reason I know it, because my dad told me all about it, which was so awkward. But he needed to talk to somebody. He spoke to me about it. And I actually said to him, well, why don't you just have an affair? And he said, I can't do that because I can't have sex with somebody. He's like, first of all, I can't have sex with somebody unless I'm in love with them. And if I have sex with somebody, I'm going to fall in love with them. Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is me having to leave your mother for somebody. Like, I wouldn't be able to just have sex and then get back to my marriage. I would have to leave my marriage and then I would be with somebody new. Like, that's how I would do it. So,
yeah, you and your mom are the type of person, if you cheat on you, you burn their house down.
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't want to deal with that. You can barely deal with the two of you when you're happy. I can only imagine.
We're not angry.
Dealing with the two of you after you cheated on them. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when we're happy, we'll break your favorite mug. We'll just throw it at you one day because you looked at us the wrong way. Yeah, so you don't want to get my mother and I. Mm-mm. And then imagine if Joe ever did anything to me. Remember, he's very close with my mom, too. So if he ever did anything to me, he would have the wrath of both of us. Like, he would have hell.
His house is burnt down.
Yeah, his house would be burnt. Well, we live together, so our house. But his metaphoric house.
Theoretically, his house would be burnt.
We'd buy him a house to burn it down.
Oh, shit, it's upgrade.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
So Tom Hanks was asked, how many of your movies have you been in do you really like?
Oh, that's interesting.
And he said, I only can think of 4 movies that I've been in that have been actually good.
You know, if you would have asked me this question and said, like, how many do you think he would have said, 4 was my answer in my head. Can I guess what they are?
He doesn't say. He doesn't tell you what the 4 are. He just says in his head, there's only been 4. But he doesn't pick the 4.
I think it's obvious what they are.
Okay, what are your 4? I got my 4.
I think it's Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Right.
The one with Meg Ryan.
Sleepless in Seattle. Right.
And it's interesting. I wonder if he would pick something that he directed.
No, this is movies that he's been in that he looks back and says, that was a good movie.
Like, it was a good movie, not just... I think Big is the 4th. Oh, but maybe Saving Private Ryan. This is tough.
Yeah, then you got Castaway. There's... And Castaway was just him, really.
I know. I don't think that's a very good movie. I didn't really like that.
Yeah, I don't think he did either, but I'm just saying there's a lot of good... I mean, Catch Me If You Can, I think would be a Tom Hanks movie. I thought that was really good, too.
Okay, I'm going to do this all over again.
Okay.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Saving Private Ryan. I don't think he likes those silly movies that he did, like the Sleepless in Seattle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might have made him famous, and those might have been fun to make with people that he likes. But I don't think those are the movies that he really would look back and say is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, does he think Toy Story, does that count? It's just his voice, so we can't really count that, right?
Yeah, I would count that.
Well, we're having on the writer of Toy Story next week, so we should ask him. That's a good question to ask him, actually.
If he thinks Tom Hanks would pick that movie.
And does he think Philadelphia, I mean, that's what he won the Oscar for. So is Philadelphia one of the movies he thinks is a good movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going again. Ready?
Yep.
A League of Their Own, Forrest Gump, Big, and Saving Private Ryan.
All right. The only movie that we both have on our list is Big. I have Big, too.
I can watch that movie over and over.
I can too. I mean, it's such a great... I mean, every part of that movie is great.
Yeah,
and it holds up and all that. Second, Toy Story.
But, okay, he's acting with his voice, so does that count?
Yeah, that's acting.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
And then I have The Money Pit.
What? That's like the worst movie ever. In fact, that's on all these lists of worst movies.
That's my... This is my list, not your list. My list. Money Pit's a good movie. He acted well in it. It's a good movie. And then Bachelor Party is on my list, too. Yeah. That's,
okay, hang on a minute. Are you saying these are your favorite Tom Hanks movies? No, I thought we were trying to guess what he thinks is his favorite Tom Hanks movie.
Bachelor Party. That was fun movie. Tawny Kitaen was in it. He got to make out with Tawny Kitaen.
Wait, you didn't say what the rules are. Are the rules that... Are we guessing the movies that Tom Hanks said were his four favorite? Or are we saying what our favorite Tom Hanks...
What are your four favorite then? Are they different than the four you gave me? Okay.
Yes. Those are the ones that I think he would have said.
Are you keeping Big?
Yes, of course I'm keeping Big.
And I know you're keeping Toy Story because you love that movie.
Big isn't just one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great movie. I love that movie.
Very New York. Very Coney Island.
Yeah. Very New York in general. That apartment that he gets in Soho. And just, he's so great at playing a big little child. He's still a child, but he's big. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's big. That's the name of the movie. I thought it was just so brilliant. I really, really, really did. I didn't like Philadelphia. I mean, it was really kind of sad and sappy. And I don't know. I hate to be like this. I thought it was a little boring. I know it's an important movie. I know he won the Oscar. I didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, of course, Toy Story movies are like my favorite movies. But I didn't realize we could pick that because I figured that's a... Okay, fine. Saving Private Ryan, I will include that. So Saving Private Ryan, Toy Story, Big.
Then you got one more. The Money Pit.
No, I don't think so. Maybe
Forrest Gump.
I thought Forrest Gump was really manipulative. I don't like movies.
I can't go back and watch it. I tried to and I couldn't do it.
Same. I can't go. I'm A League of Their Own. I could always go back and watch that. Okay. A League of Their Own is my other favorite movie.
So, and my next question is Tom Hanks a great actor or is he just a likable one?
That's a very good question. I think he has a specific thing that he does, and he does it really well. Does he have a huge range? No. I think that's why I don't like Philadelphia, because it's goofy Tom Hanks playing somebody dying of AIDS rather than the character he was playing. I don't think he has a huge, huge, huge range. You know, he's not like Robert De Niro or somebody like
that.
Al Pacino, who's or any other actor that you really love, who just literally just becomes the character where you're just like, whoa, that's fucking amazing. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, has that quality where he really becomes the guy. I think Tom Hanks has something specific that he does, and he does it better than anybody else. You know, like A League of Their Own, he was really good in that role.
Right.
Big. Like I just said in Big, you know, the fact that he was an adult playing a child, but he played it like a child who was stuck in an adult's body. It was really convincing and really good. So, is he a good actor? Well, yeah, of course he's a good actor, but he's good. He's good from like A to M.
He's a likable guy. Everybody likes him.
Yes.
Does he blow you off the screen? No. Does he take you away from the story? No. He fills that part perfectly. It's like Splash. Splash was a great movie that he was in.
Right.
Was he the star of Splash? No. But he carried the story.
Yeah, that's a good... Splash is a really good example. Because I don't think of that as a Tom Hanks movie, because...
It's a great cast. The whole cast was great.
The whole cast was great, but the story was bigger than he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the story is the more interesting part of it. He's not the star of it. The story really is. And then Daryl Hannah would be second.
Same as Money Pit. Money Pit was a story that had a good actor. A likable guy.
Right. Yeah.
But then he's done some shit movies like Pinocchio, and I mean, there's a lot of those. The guy that landed the plane, Scully, whatever.
Oh, that was terrible.
Horrible. He's done horrible movies.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just called cash grabs. That's all he's done. He's done a lot of cash grabs.
Right. Yeah, it's not like there are movies that he... Yeah, Sully was really terrible. Elvis. I thought it was terrible.
Not a good movie.
I didn't care for You've Got Mail. I thought that was boring as hell. And I didn't really like Castaway either. You know, to think that... I get that they think he can carry an entire movie, him and the ball, and there's some iconic moments. Wilson! Like, iconic moments in it, whatever. I didn't think it was all that. I can't watch that movie again. You know, the mark of a really good actor is when you can watch them leading a movie over and over and over again, and it's still great. It's still really good. And I just, that's what he's missing for me.
Finch, the Da Vinci Code, Greyhound,
Terrible.
The Terminal.
I mean, Bonfire of the Vanities. In fact, if you look at lists of the worst movies of all time, the Bonfire of the Vanities is always in like the top three.
Angels and Demons. It's just one. Turner and Hooch. Even the It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Just, oh, I forgot about that.
I could do without The Burbs. Great premise. It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, the Mr. Rogers one, it was forgettable. Yeah. You're right. That's a very good point. Forgettable.
So there's a lot of good movies, but a lot of bad ones too.
Okay, so who do you think is one of the best actors out there? Somebody who you can watch over and over, and they're so good in everything they do.
That's a hard one. The Justified guy.
Timothy Oliphant?
I think he's great in every role that he does.
I agree with that. Yeah, he's really good.
He makes every role exactly what it needs to be. Ryan Reynolds, I think, is great for what he does. Because he's always Ryan. He's always Deadpool in whatever movie he's in.
You know who I've just recently rediscovered and realized what an amazing actor he is? Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe was one of these actors, and I remember the first time I saw him, I was in a film class in college, and they were playing all these movies. There was a whole, I forget what the theme was, but they played To Live and Die in L.A., and he was the evil guy in it. He was the evil art stealer, art dealer guy. And I was like, who the hell is that? The guy was amazing. I was like, I couldn't stop watching. I was like, he's amazing. I went back and I watched a bunch of films he had been in. And then just recently I rewatched the Spider-Man movies.
Right.
He's I think, one of these really interesting actors that jumps off the screen.
And I will say Leonardo DiCaprio. Everything that he's in, I'm there. Sign me up.
Right. From Gilbert Grape to Inception to Wall Street, all of them. Great. Yeah,
Wolf of Wall Street, probably hands down one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
I can watch it over and over and over again. So, you know, you put Anthony Hopkins in a movie, I'm there.
Yeah, Tom Hanks is no Anthony Hopkins.
No.
He's not even a Willem Dafoe.
I think they're on the same level.
Not for me. I think Willem Dafoe, I think, is one of the most underrated actors. He should be doing more stuff and bigger stuff. To me, he's a really important actor.
No, I think because if you see him off screen... He's very weird. Tom Hanks is kind of normal.
But that's fine. I think it's okay that he's weird. And not everybody has to be America's sweetheart. You know, not everyone's Julia Roberts. Whatever happened to her, by the way? Yeah.
Graphic language will be used throughout this show.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
So, you know, every once in a while, if I'm bored, if I have an extra day free with nothing to do, and I get a call to do background work, I'll do it. And believe me, it's not a big deal at all. Like, literally anybody can do it. You can
explain
sign up for...
what that is.
Okay, so background work is, you know, when you're watching a show or a movie, watching TV, and there's literally just people walking around in the background, or sometimes there'd be an explosion, and suddenly everybody in the office gets up and runs.
Mm-hmm.
So those people that get up and run, I'll be one of those people. Literally anybody can do it. You can just sign up for one of these services. Sometimes they actually send you emails that says, you know, we're looking for this, are you available? Other times you can go to the website and they tell you what movies and what TV shows are filming in your area, and you could say, oh yeah, I'm available that day. I'd like to run from an explosion that day, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not special. Anybody can do it, and they pay you. That's the main thing. That's why people do it. Some
How
people
much do
because they
get paid a day.
Well, it depends. Is the answer. If you're in the union, you get a couple of $100. If you're non-union, I think it's $165. But still, $165 for the day, and then you get $50 for a COVID test if you're not union. That's if you're not doing anything, you've got a free day. And you were going to make zero that day. Now you've made $210.
So they feed you?
And they feed you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and sometimes they provide transportation depending on where the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to the point where, like, I don't know. But the days are long and tedious. I mean, some of them you can sit around all day. There's a lot of sitting around or a lot of being on set and just walking back and forth behind an actor over and over and over. So it's tedious. Some of it's like, it's a lot. But so I've gotten to the point where, you know, if I'm really literally doing nothing that day, screw it, I'll do it. Fuck it. Why not? And I've never really worked on any of the big shows that I actually love and watch. Like, there's a lot of shows that are filming right now that have huge stars. I've never worked on any of those. Like, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You know, everybody's on that show. Like, all the big stars are on that show. Tony Shalhoub and Rachel Brosnahan on that show. The Morning Show is filming right now. Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, John Hamm joined the cast, like huge. And Just Like That is filming. Sarah Jessica Parker and all the girls from Sex and the City. Like, so there's some really big, big things that are filming right now. And it's not just in New York. It's literally all over.
In your neighborhood, though. 90% of them are around you.
That's true. That's true. But like I said, they film all over the country. So it's just, you can get stuff going anywhere you live in the country. You don't have to be in New York or LA, by the way. Like, they literally film stuff everywhere, especially Georgia. Georgia's a big place right now where they're filming lots of stuff. So I've never been on one of these shows where the big, big, big stars are. So I get a request to come be on one of these shows where the big, 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 big stars are. And there is an actor. I'm not going to say what it is because I'm about to tell you what happened on the set, and I don't want it to get back to them. I don't want them to know that I'm talking about them.
Is it The Boys?
No.
Is it Karate Kid?
It's one of the shows that I just mentioned. Maybe it's a show with like Only Murders in the Building, where like Selena Gomez. It has one really big star that I love that I've been dying to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I get cast in one of these, in this show, this particular show that has big name stars in it. And there's one in particular that you love, that I love. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be her best friend today. Like, I can't wait to be in a scene with her.
You better not say Jennifer Aniston.
I can't wait to see her in person. I've never seen her in person.
You cannot say Jennifer Aniston.
Like, is she going to be nice? Is she going to, because sometimes you get people that are like really, I've worked on stuff with Katherine Hahn. And she was so nice to all the background people. She talked to everybody. She came over and was like chatting with us. Like, we're furniture. So I get there and it's beautiful. The building we're filming in is gorgeous. It's a high floor. Usually they put you in like a church basement. So here I am on this high floor. I can see all of the city. There's windows everywhere. They have food for us. It's beautiful. They have a personal, like a chair and a table for everybody and a hair and makeup. And it is luxurious. It's exactly what I think that like big name star lady would have on one of her sets. So I get there and I'm sitting there and we're all sitting around waiting and they get us in hair and makeup and they decide what we're wearing and they get us all like ready. So they're like, okay, now you get breakfast. So they break us for breakfast and we all go for breakfast and they're like, okay, so half of you will stay up here and film the first scene. The other half of you will go back down to the waiting area. And when we do what's called turnaround, so the camera's facing one way and big name actress is standing there and she's having a scene and people are walking back and forth behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Then they turn the camera around to get the other person's perspective. And there's different people walking around. That's called the turnaround. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to go downstairs and enjoy my breakfast. I brought good coffee. I knew the guy who makes that decision. I was like, Richard, do me a favor. Can I be in the turnaround? Can I go downstairs and eat my breakfast? He's like, of course. No big deal, Cooper. Go. You know, whatever. So I go downstairs to have my breakfast. And there's like 11 of us that go down for breakfast. And the rest of the people stay up there to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an hour or so has passed, maybe close to 2 hours have passed. And I'm like, okay, well, they should be turning around by now. And I see the background wrangler come running in. I was like, oh, this must be it. This must be my big opportunity to go up and work with big name actress. And I get to see her in person and what she looks like. And is she a good actress in person? How much is that in the editing room? Will I get close enough to see if she smells good? Like, well, you know, this is going to be, will she be my best friend by the end of this? Will she look at me and be like, you know, there's something about that background person. Like, I feel like she and I should be friends. So the background wrangler comes down and she's like, oh my God, you guys, you got to get in the van really quick. They're waiting downstairs for you to take you to the next location. So we knew there was an afternoon location. We just thought we were going there later. Suddenly it's this big rush to get us to the next location. So we're packing up our stuff. And let me just tell you, when you do these, usually they provide clothing for you, but they ask you to bring a change of clothes or two. And you do it to be nice, but they never go with your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to the habit of not bringing clothes with me. I'll bring like a pair of shoes maybe, but that's it. For some reason, because I wanted to impress big name actress, I brought all my best clothes. I brought a whole suitcase, like a wheelie suitcase, that I schlepped all the way there from all the way downtown. This big wheelie suitcase. And of course, the wardrobe wanted none of my stuff except for like one pair of shoes.
Mm.
So I have all my stuff with me, which is like three bags and a suitcase. It's like I just moved in for the day to this place. And this wrangler is like, come on, you gotta go. We're on the 72nd floor, so it's not like I can just like jump out the window. So me and the 11 people, we grab all of our stuff, because everybody has suitcases. We go run to the elevator, we go downstairs, and we get into the lobby, and there's nobody there. There's nobody there waiting for us. There's nobody there telling us where to go. It's a big city. There's a lot of streets. We don't know where to go. So one of the people with us says, I will go look. You guys stay here. I'll sacrifice myself. So she goes and she looks in the two obvious places, doesn't see anything, and starts to walk around the neighborhood, goes like a half a block away, and sees a van with the name of the show on it. Goes, oh, great. Comes back and gets us. We all go walking all the way around the block, and the van is gone. Didn't wait for us. No one told it to wait. And I was like, what happened to the van? Why don't you tell them to wait? She's like, I didn't have to. It had one person in it. I didn't think she was, I figured they would just wait for us. So we see another van across the way and we're like, oh, great. He's like, no, I'm here for big name actress and her entourage. And I was like, oh, can you radio somebody and get a van for us? Or can we get in with big name actress and her entourage? Because I feel like today's the day that she's going to want me to be part of her entourage.
She's gonna,
so maybe
she's
just
see me.
Yeah, what if I just ditch these other nine people and just
in
me? Maybe just me and my three bags will get in. Like, just I'll get in. You know what? I'll leave the bags. Just me. I'll get in. Because big name actress and I are going to be best friends by the end of the day, like 100%. So he radios up and they're like, you know what? Sure, take them. So we all get in and I'm waiting for big name actress. And they're like, oh, big name actress is still on set. It's going to be a little bit. So you guys go without her. Oh. Okay, so I didn't get to film with her, but now there's a second location. This is my second opportunity that I can see big name actress, be with her, we'll be best friends, it's going to be awesome. I'll come and brag to you how I now have this very famous actress best friend. So we go down to the next location, and the wardrobe people say, you, me and another girl, your outfits were rejected, we have to redress you. They pull us into wardrobe. And I am telling you, it was like I was on one of those shows where they're doing a makeover on you. Try this hat. Try these stockings. What about these pants? Try a skirt. How about this jacket?
And
no,
you got
put this jacket.
Three bags full of clothes.
And they don't want
they
any
don't
of
want
them.
They don't want none of them.
None of them. So they have all their clothes there. I tried on, I'm not even exaggerating, I probably tried on 20 different outfits. Different configurations of that jacket with that skirt. No, try pantyhose. No, try just jeans. No, try this blouse. What about this hat? You want a scarf? Let me do the scarf right. It took so long that they broke us for lunch, and me and this woman missed lunch because they were so busy dressing us. So they finally get us. We only need two outfits. There's two more changes. There's one more change. Two more scenes. So I get in this fantastic outfit they give me. I'm looking great. big name actress is going to think these are my clothes. Mm. Like, I have come looking.
You picked these out.
Yeah, we're in Soho, where all the fashion people are. Maybe big name actress actually has an apartment down here, and she's going to be like, oh, we should go shopping together. Like, that's a fabulous outfit.
Here's my phone number.
Exactly. Like, I live in the neighborhood. Why don't we have coffee after the shoot?
She wants to take a selfie with you.
Right, exactly. Like, that's a fabulous outfit. You look great. We should be friends, is what I'm thinking. So, I get in my first look. They have to take a photo of you. Then you get in your second look. They take a photo of you. I get to lunch. All the food's gone. Basically, I'm just like picking through whatever's left. You know how it is when you go to like a buffet and everyone's picked through and there's like one thing left of everything. So I pick through. I finally find something to eat. I go and I sit down. I'm wearing my first outfit. I'm very excited. Big name actress. I know that she's here. I saw all the vans pull up. And I see one of the women from the morning who was in the first shoot. And I said, did you get to work with big name actress? She goes, no. I said, well, was she not there? She says, no, we never filmed anything. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you didn't come up for the turnaround because there was no turnaround. There was no shooting. We all sat there wondering what the heck was going on and wondering why. She said, they didn't even have cameras up. There were no cameras. And I saw all the camera stuff in a big bin being wheeled onto an elevator. So I just thought that was more camera stuff. I didn't realize that that was the camera stuff because, so I'm thinking like, did I misjudge big name actress? Is she such a diva that she's like, this script sucks. I'm not doing it. This is terrible. You know, why I've been here since 9:30 a.m. It is now 5:30.
Wow.
And we have shot nothing. I thought at least the other half of the people shot stuff. No, they didn't shoot anything either. They were just up there sitting around. I was like, what'd you do the whole time? She said, we sat at breakfast the whole time. You went downstairs for breakfast. I sat upstairs for breakfast and nothing got shot. We didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, well, maybe there was a script problem. Maybe big name actress had a problem with, you know, an outfit, a wig or something. Who knows? So it's 6:30. I've been there since 9:30. I finally get called. I'm like, this is my moment. I'm wearing this fantastic outfit.
Still.
With this gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, they put you in clothes. You got to stay in the clothes because they can call you at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know if you can sit there for an hour or 2 minutes. So you got to be in your first outfit. I'm in this fabulous, this gorgeous, like, pink blazer that fits me perfectly. It's like an outer coat. It's long. I have layers underneath. I look like I'm worth millions of dollars. I'm dressed like, it's supposed to be Tribeca, Soho, that area. You're supposed to look like money. And I look like money. I mean, they gave me this beautiful skirt and these gorgeous shoes. I mean, this handbag that was like a knockoff of like a $50,000 handbag. I looked like money. So the Wrangler comes in and they don't use your names. They use numbers. So she's calling all the numbers and I hear my number get called. I'm like, oh my God, that's me. I got called. Mm-hmm. Here I go. I'm about to go finally be in a scene and meet and look at and be friends with big name actress. This is my moment. So I'm like, I fix my makeup. I put a little lipstick on. I get all like my hair, whatever. I'm so excited. I go running in with about five or six other people. I'm like, oh, good, exclusive, just the few of us. So it's just going to be us and big name actresses. She's going to have to see me. It's not like there's hundreds of people. I'm going to get lost in a crowd. There's six of us. So she's going to notice me. The intern PA woman says, okay, you guys are wrapped.
What?
I was like, what? Yep, you guys are done. We're done? We didn't film anything. No, you're done. So we got cut. That was it. That was my whole day.
And you had to take the nice clothes off and the shoes and...
I had to take them all off again, give them back to the wardrobe people, get into my schlubby New York...
T-shirt.
Not dripping with money clothes, my stupid T-shirt, my... Mm-hmm. So I never got to meet big name actress. I never got to be on...
I never
even saw big name actress. All I know is that I was in a van that was dedicated to her and her entourage. And I was hoping that maybe he was going to pick her up on the way or something. That's the closest I came. I was... Her driver drove me. I met her driver. That was about it.
It sounds like you were kidnapped for 9 hours.
It does feel that way. It does. It does.
You got in a van with somebody. They drove you around, put you in fancy clothes, and then told you to, and then finally got to know you, and then told you
realize
to
go. No, we were gonna have you do an OnlyFans, but no, we're gonna have you do a LonelyFans.
Yeah. You were kidnapped.
Yeah, it was terrible. So it's like there's an upside and a downside. The upside is I didn't have to work for my money. I got paid for yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I got paid for it. But I never got to meet big name actress, never got to see her on set. I never got to do anything. I sat in a holding space the whole time and I drank coffee and
sounds ate like a fantastic day.
Terrible. Yeah. So that's what background work is like.
Avoid boring your audience.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
This is done only as a courtesy to your audience.
This story drives me nuts. I don't understand this at all. And it's coming from a place that actually exists. The American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yeah, that's it's not just a place. That's a major think tank.
We should listen to them.
Yeah, they do research. They actually set the tone for what you should and shouldn't do with your children.
I think they're wackos now.
Okay. All right, why?
I don't think we should listen to them anymore. I think they're completely insane. Because they came out with this story today, and I go, I don't understand this at all.
Pediatricians, in fact, say some schools have been handling it all wrong.
Okay, we're talking about head lice.
Okay.
In schools.
Health reporter Bianca Castro is here with more on this. Well, walk us through this.
This is interesting. So the American Academy of Pediatrics updated its guidance.
Who doesn't exist.
Guidance on head lice.
It does exist.
It does exist. You sure?
Yeah, it's the CDC for kids.
It's time since 2015. And some key points. Children should not miss school if they do have head lice. And
what? If I have lice, I'm not going to school. Like, I don't want to go in school and sit there and be itching. Like, forget about that. I don't even care about whether I give it to other kids or not. I don't want to sit there itching the whole time.
They're going to pick on you nonstop.
Right.
You're a head lice girl now.
Right, right.
For the rest of your... Because you peed your pants into fifth grade. You're a pee girl.
I didn't pee my pants. Joseph Muss poured juice by my chair and told everybody I peed. And I got up and I said, my pants are dry. How could I have peed on the floor? And people were still like, you peed on the floor. I was like, how?
But when you graduated, they said, and pee girl.
You still think I peed on the floor. And I'm going to tell you the story.
And so you were pee girl. Can you imagine being head lice girl?
Oh, no,
and
definitely
school
not.
Head lice screening programs don't work well. They're not cost effective and they stigmatize children.
That's what we're here for.
At the Royal Treatment Center in Hearst, technicians not only combat the most severe cases of lice, they also have to combat the stigma that comes along with it.
The stigma that kids hold is they sometimes, if they have a severe case of head lice and it's not addressed, they're bullied.
The bugs will sink to the bottom.
Yeah, so let them go to school.
They get bullied either way.
That stigma, according to a new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics.
The minute they hear you have lice, they're going to bully you. It doesn't matter whether you can pretend to have them, don't have them, go to school with them, stay home with them.
If there's just a rumor that you've been near head lice, you're never going to live that down.
Cause the most harm to children dealing with or even suspected of having lice. In new guidance, the AAP says head lice screening programs in schools aren't effective and instead stigmatize children. The AAP also says children should not be allowed to miss school because of lice or...
But that's how lice spreads. Isn't that the whole idea that if I have lice and I go to school and play with my little friends, they're going to jump off my head into their heads, right?
Right.
Eggs called nits.
Even though lice is a huge inconvenience for a lot of people, it doesn't pose a health risk the same way COVID would.
Well, it doesn't kill you, but you don't want fucking lice living in your hair.
Nutrition doctor.
Can you imagine the boy sitting behind you and you have head lice going through?
Dr. Marcello Cando reiterates that head lice is not a health hazard or a result of poor hygiene.
I think parents should be notified, even with a note at the end of the school, from the school note or an email, like they do with a lot of other things, where the child doesn't have to be picked up right away, but the school still notifies them of this situation and even can notify the rest of the class of this situation.
And then what should
I
be
realize that anybody can get lice. I get the idea that rich, poor, you can get lice. I get it. But when I was living in Coney Island and I was going to school there, lice was a regular thing. People had lice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once my parents moved me out of that neighborhood to a nicer neighborhood where people had money and I went to private school, I never heard the word lice again unless somebody was asking me if I want a slice of cake.
Parents do. The AAP says call your pediatrician first and then use FDA-approved treatments. And if that doesn't work, seek professional help.
But let them go to school.
Marietta Klein at the Royal Treatment Center suggests this. Crazy. Parents, get informed before head lice spreads to your home.
Since COVID, people just aren't aware that it's out there. But the cases
two totally
are
different
worse
things.
Right. You cannot keep comparing COVID to lice.
No.
The AAP suggests that schools offer educational programs for families to help increase understanding and, of course, management of head lice in the community. Meredith, back to you.
I don't understand what I just saw or heard.
I don't get it. I think that whole story was written by head lice.
I was going to say, who wrote this? Lice? Lice are like, let's keep going to school.
They
don't stay home.
They have a campaign that they want to spread more, so they wrote this story.
The lice wrote this story.
and the CDC people said, yeah, that sounds doable. What the hell is wrong with people?
The lice have taken over. If they make us stay home, we only get to affect the one child.
Hey, right. And maybe the dog and the sister. If we go to school, we can infect everybody. Game on.
We will rule the world.
I don't want some kid sitting next to my kid with head lice. Are you out of your mind?
No. First of all, yes. If your kid has head lice, the kid should stay home because the kid's going to be uncomfortable. It's like if your kid has diarrhea, you're not going to send your kid to school to, you know what I mean? Like, they'll be in the bathroom all day. Just let them stay home.
Right. And I've seen those photos of the head lice, a bad head lice, and it's like all, like people on the subway, you can see their hair. Oh, no. Yeah. You can't go to school.
Now I don't even want to go on the subway.
But I didn't want to go on the subway anyway. You made me.
Now I'm going to wear hats everywhere I go. Now I'm going to wear a mask to block COVID and a hat to block lice. Now, okay, great. I'm going to be in a hazmat suit by the end of this segment.
But according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, it's the same thing.
Well, because what's interesting, here's what they're saying that I think is really interesting. They're saying that the stigma of lice and the bullying that goes with it is worse than the kid dealing with lice. Because lice, it's not life affecting. You use a shampoo. They were showing you use a shampoo or some kind of cream of some kind. You put it in your hair. You comb out the shit. It kills them. That's it. They're dead. It's like crabs in your head.
Right.
Dead. So it's not going to kill you, but the long-term effects of the bullying are worse is basically what they're saying.
Yeah, because when you walk the stage, when you graduate, they're going to, and Cooper Lice Girl Lawrence.
Right. No, but that doesn't make sense either, because if your kid goes to school with lice, the kid is going to be itching their head the whole time, and the other kids are going to notice and then bully you. If your kid stays home, you could be like, stomach flu. You can lie about what the kid had. You don't have to say they're home for lice.
Mm-hmm.